these first 4 weeks. And this is that moment this week, next week, in the next couple weeks where life's going to get crazy. Things are going to happen. There's going to be some Wednesday nights where the enemy whispers in your ear, do you really have to go tonight? Look outside. It's raining. There's a stinking tropical storm coming up from the coast. You should just stay home. It's probably really, really cold in that chapel. Yeah, it is, as always. Man, just know that these seeds have been planted in you, and the next section that's going to kick off next week is this idea of water, and those seeds that have been planted are going to begin to be watered, and God's going to begin to do some stuff, and you're going to see life begin to grow. God's doing some incredible things in your life, so keep at it. Don't give up. God's at work, and don't listen to those lies of the enemy that tell you just to kind of stay home on a Wednesday night or maybe miss out on one or here or there. Get here. So proud of you guys and so proud of the growth that God's doing in your life. Tonight, we're going to jump into week four, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit 101. Okay, 101. Why do we say the Holy Spirit 101? Why is it called 101? Because this may be a brand new concept to you. This might be the first time, maybe you're brand new to church somewhat, maybe in the last few months, the last year or two, and you've never really heard a teaching on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard people talk about the Holy Spirit, and you maybe heard all kinds of different things. And, you know, here's the deal. You might have heard it called the Holy Spirit. You may have heard him called the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever heard that before, right? I remember this as a kid, okay? When I was a kid, I lived in Silsbee, Texas. We lived near Beaumont, Texas. But my family, we would drive on Sundays and Wednesdays and go to church in Beaumont. And my parents, I don't know how long they had this rickety, old, nasty brown van. I mean, just this brown, ugly van. And it was one of those vans that there were two seats in the front, but there were like no seats in the back. And back then in the 1980s, it was okay for kids to roll around there in the back and not be buckled in, right? And so that was me. And I remember one night we were driving home from church and my parents were just talking. And I said, hey, Mom and Dad. And they said, yeah. And my mom said she looked back, she turned around, and I had found a white sheet in the back of the van. I don't know what it was doing back there. I put it over me, and I said, hey, look, Mom and Dad, I'm the Holy Ghost with this sheet over me. And they just, my dad about ran off the road laughing, but also kind of dodging the lightning. He thought God's going to strike us down because of our son. And I say all that to just get you laughing and just say, hey, relax, okay? We're not going to do anything kooky tonight. Some of you come from no church background. Some of you come from a background maybe growing up in this very church, and you've heard a lot of teachings on the Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe have come from other backgrounds where you heard some different types of teachings. But just relax. Tonight we want to just talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit, how beautiful the Holy Spirit is, and how he is God and how he is active in our lives and how important it is, okay? Since we come from different backgrounds, each of us have different ideas, maybe, have been given unique perspectives on the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our life. Some may view the work of the Holy Spirit with great excitement and anticipation, while others may have real reservations, okay? Some are expectant, while others are just plain wigged out and scared to death when you hear, uh-oh. You might even have been tempted to like, should I skip this week? What are they going to do? What are they going to talk about? You know, and here's the deal. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. He is beautiful. And the scriptures are full with great instruction about the power of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit in our life. And honestly, it's people. People, us, we make it weird. we mess it up sometimes because we're just people. But tonight I hope that between Jeremiah and I, we can kind of give you a basis of who the Holy Spirit is and talk about that a little bit and help you guys with that, okay? So can we relax? All right. People are always afraid of what is different or what they don't understand. Isn't that true? And so we just want you to just relax tonight and hopefully show you through Scripture and give you a better understanding. You know, in Starting Point, how many of you have done Starting Point? Raise your hand. Awesome. If you're not in Starting Point, jump in this coming Sunday. You're going to learn a lot about our church, and you're going to learn a lot about knowing God, finding freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. But in week one, we talk about knowing God, and we talk about some misconceptions that people sometimes have about God, about his son, Jesus Christ, and about the Holy Spirit. And when we get to Holy Spirit, we're on the whiteboard in the room. If you remember, we spent a lot of time there. A lot of people have a lot of different misconceptions. What are some misconceptions people have had about the Holy Spirit? Go ahead and share with me. Anybody, feel free to say it out loud. Yes. It's your own voice, okay? He's spooky. Anybody else? He makes you do weird things. He's not active anymore, yep. Anybody else? There's a lot of things. And in starting point, we kind of talk about those things, and we try to give some scriptures and some truths against those misconceptions, right? But this is Jesus speaking before he went to the cross in the New Testament. He says this in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth that it is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you." Who's the counselor? Who's he speaking of? The Holy Spirit, right? "If I go, I will send him to you." So that was all part of God's plan. And I'm sure the disciples, and I think we talked about that a little bit last week when we were talking about the Trinity, is this idea that I'm sure the disciples were like, "Don't go, Jesus. We want you to stay." But if he didn't go, then he couldn't send us the Holy Spirit. So now that the Holy Spirit is with us always at the moment of salvation, amen? And so let's talk a little bit about who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, number one, the Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. Again, last week we learned about the Trinity and learned that the Holy Spirit is equally divine as God and his Son Jesus Christ, and yet also individual. Remember, they're individual, but yet in one, right? Do you guys remember what was unique about the Holy Spirit last week? Anybody? Can you name them out? What was unique about the Holy Spirit? Everybody's turning their pages. He fills us with power, right? That was something unique. He's our comforter in times of need, in times of tragedy, right? He's our comforter. He gives us courage and boldness to be his witnesses, right? That's what's unique about the Holy Spirit. He's also our teacher and our guide in many ways, right? And so we see in many, many scriptures, it talks about who he is. Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples and sending them out in the Great Commission. He goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and who else? The Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," right? The fellowship, the Holy Spirit, being active, being alive, right, in our life. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. "How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself of some of the money you received for the land? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." This is an example of someone who lied in the book of Acts and lied to the Holy Spirit. So you see throughout Scripture that the Holy Spirit is active, alive, right? So it is the Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. Number two, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. You might say, well, that's kind of strange, but the idea is that he has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. And for example, we're told in the Scriptures, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? You know, as a believer, as you're growing in your relationship with the Lord, we can go through seasons, and if we're not careful, our speech, our actions can grieve the Holy Spirit who is active in our lives. And so he has emotions. Isaiah 63:10, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them," right? We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He has emotions. Ephesians 4:30, "Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live." And so as a believer, as a Christian, are we supposed to be perfect? No. None of us are. If you're perfect, you got to go. Anybody perfect? No. But at the same time, as believers, we're growing in Christ-like character, convictions, right? And we want to be growing in the way that we live. And the way that we live, if we're not careful, can grieve the Holy Spirit. And in that verse in Ephesians, here the Apostle Paul is cautioning Christians that when we're tempted to act like the world around us and talk like the world around us, we must not give in because it grieves the Holy Spirit. So we do, as believers, need to be careful what we watch, what we listen to, what we say, and that kind of thing. And so that shows you the emotion that he has. The second thing about him being a person is that he has his own desires and will. He has his own desires and will, the Holy Spirit. Number one, the desires. The Holy Spirit desires this. He desires to fill you and to fill me. Okay? The Holy Spirit desires to be actively involved, guys, in your lives, in my life, every single day. Right? At the moment of salvation, at the moment you say yes to Jesus and you ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, the Holy Spirit is active in your life. Okay? He's at work in our lives. And he wants to actively be in your life, guiding you, directing you, teaching you, as we said last week, right? Some of those unique things, being that comfort to you as you're going through challenging times, right? That's what he desires. What is his will? His will is to give us spiritual gifts, good gifts from our Heavenly Father. That's what's so great. The Holy Spirit is a gift giver to us. Each and every one of you are unique and different. And God has spiritual gifts that he's given you, that he wants you to use and operate. Why? To give you attention? No. To bring glory to God and to further the church, right? To further the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's to use the gifts that God's given us to further advance the kingdom of God. Amen? And lots of us have different types of gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks of those gifts. But in verse 11, it says that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to each as he wills. The gifts that are placed in the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? It's us, right? It's, you know, we call this building the church, but really it's us as people. We're the body of Christ. The gifts that are placed in the body of Christ and the assignment of responsibilities in the body of Christ come through the marvelous works of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is important, is active in our lives, okay? It's nothing to be scared of. It's nothing that's spooky. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, I've never heard an audible voice of God or the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit speaks through my life, through what I sometimes read in the Scriptures, through another person who is encouraging me, through a song, through a message, a sermon, a teaching like tonight, whatever it may be, right? And so those are his desires and will. Another thing about his person is that he is in relationship with us, right? He's in relationship with us as well as the Father and the Son, okay? 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He is not the little buddy of the Trinity. Some people think that way. That's another description sometimes. He's not. He's God, right? He's different, but at the same time, he's part of that Godhead, right? He's the third person of the Trinity. Here's number three of who the Holy Spirit is. He is eternal and holy. The Holy Spirit is eternal and holy. A couple more scriptures for you guys. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So here's another term, another title for the Holy Spirit is an advocate. What's an advocate do? It goes on your behalf, right? Advocate to help you and be with you forever. Since Jesus physically went to heaven, right? The Holy Spirit came to be with us. He's that advocate for us, that helper to us. Genesis 1:2, even all the way back at the very beginning of the Bible, you see the Spirit of God moving and active, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Not me, not mine, but our, right? He's speaking of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right? And so interesting things there to learn, and that's who the Holy Spirit is. And so, guys, I just want you to continue just to relax tonight and just know that the Holy Spirit is not something to be scared of, not to think of as spooky, but that wants to be active and working in our lives. And Jeremiah Campbell is going to come up, and he's going to continue teaching you guys tonight a little bit further. Love this guy. Everybody give him a hand.
All right. Thank you. All right. So we know a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. We know that based on his story, the Holy Spirit is not Pastor Stephen in the back of a panel van with a white sheet, which is a great story. I would have been probably hit on the head if I would have done that. But I grew up kind of strangely as it pertains to church. Anybody not grow up in a charismatic, spirit-filled church? I know we got a bunch of them. Good. The hands are going up. I was raised half Catholic and half Baptist. Woo! So I was really mixed up when it came to who God is, who Jesus is. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. So I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. He was just some weird thing that we don't speak about, because if you're in the Catholic Church, you're like, sit down and shut up and kneel when it's time, and you better confess your sins, and it's very regimented, and it's very about the things that you can do to be better, and the words that you say and the prayers that you say, and it was very legalistic almost, and I'm not bashing it, but I'm just telling you my experience. And then in the Baptist Church, it's like, you just sit down and, you know, we're going to go have some chicken, and when it's over, and you just shut up, though, and don't embarrass me. And so it was just this weird dynamic for me growing up. And so when I got older and I decided to kind of break out, and I knew that there was more. I just knew there was more. I knew that there was something else to this church thing. And when I tried to decide to serve my own God, and I say that not saying that I have my own personal Jesus or anything. It's not me, and he's not only mine. But when I tried to serve my own God, not my parents' God, not my grandparents' God, Am I speaking to someone? Because we can get into a habit of just doing what our parents did and then feeling like that's all there is. And sometimes that's great, because sometimes our parents did it very well and they taught us well. But it has to become real to us at some point in our life, right? It has to become real to us, or we are not going to actively seek and search out that relationship that we must have with God, with the Holy Spirit, that's going to make those changes in our lives. So we know who the Holy Spirit is a little bit now. We've learned that. So what does he do in my life? What does he do in your life? The number one thing that he does is he comes into my heart the moment I invite him to do so. We know what the scripture says in Romans. If I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart, we know that. At that point, then we are saved, and the Holy Spirit then dwells inside of us. But look, what's that word? He comes into my heart. There's that word again. 2 weeks ago, we learned a little bit about what the heart is. And what is it? There's three main things. What is it? Anybody remember? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I don't even know if I was here teaching. The first thing, it's the physical center. We know. We know. It's a large organ. It's there. It's pumping our blood around our bodies. It's keeping us alive. If it stops, we die. It's not good. We know. It's a physical center. But it's also a figure of inaccessibility. Right? It's the hidden things within us that we think that we can keep hidden. It's the things that we stuff down inside that we think that nobody's going to know about. But we know that's not true based on scripture, right? Because what does God search? The heart. That's right. And then it is the center of hidden emotional, intellectual, and moral activity. That's a mouthful. But we know that because God is always searching that. He's not searching our minds, he's searching our hearts, which is that moral and intellectual center that we want to keep pure and clean. So it seems to me that if God is now in us, if the Holy Spirit is now in us, he is helping us to keep that heart, that moral, that intellectual center clean. That's an important thing. That's why we lead with that. So at one point, it was God with us. We know, and we read in the Old Testament, and before Jesus came, and he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he was resurrected. We know that it was not God in us, it was God with us. They had physical signs of God before them. And now we have the privilege, the distinct privilege of being the temple of the living God. That's exciting to me. So we think and we put on the pedestal David and Moses and all these guys, but even they didn't have the spirit of the living God living inside them like we get the privilege of doing today. That is exciting to me. The second thing is he teaches and reminds us of what we need to remember. I don't know about you guys, but my brain sometimes does not function as quickly as I need it to, especially in situations as it pertains to witnessing and just really being a great witness for God. And so I need to be reminded. I need to be taught. how do we filter most things that we ingest in life? We can filter it through a thousand different things, right? There's a thousand different lenses that we can put on that we can filter the things that we ingest every single day. Me, I want to filter everything through Scripture. I want the Holy Spirit to be what is being filtered through. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. When something is coming at me and it's being preached as a truth, who do I go to? Do I take it as law, what that individual is telling me? Or do I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, guide me? Tell me whether it's the truth or not. That is one of the greatest things about having the Holy Spirit walking with you daily, living inside you. You can go to Him immediately and ask for truths. There is one thing that we have to always demand, and that is the truth. Falsehood has an infinite number of possibilities, but truth has only one mode of being. That's it. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. Why would we not want that active in our lives? Why would we not want to know the truth? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, but I don't want to live blinded anymore because that got me into trouble so many times in my life. I want to know the truth, even if it hurts me, because you know what? Most of the time it's for my good. It's stretching me. It's helping me to become a better man, and that's through the Holy Spirit. It's not always the good, warm tinglies. Sometimes it's the hard truths. But if we're blind to that and we're not filtering it through the Word and we're not asking the Holy Spirit to reveal those truths to us, we might as well stop doing what we're doing. The third thing, and Pastor Stephen talked about an advocate. What did he say an advocate was? Yeah, pretty much. It's a lawyer. You're right. It's one who pleads the case of another or the cause of another. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And I don't know about you guys, but I want somebody pleading my case because I'm not that good at it most of the time because I get the facts mixed up and, you know, and I've probably done something I shouldn't have done. Or I want somebody pleading my case. I want somebody going to the Father and interceding for me. And that's what He does. He prays and He intercedes for us. Romans 8 and 27 says, "And He who searches our hearts," there's that word again, "knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God." What does that say, according to the will of Jeremiah? No. We want it to sometimes, but it's according to the will of God. So that means sometimes it's not what's comfortable for me. And sometimes the outcome of that prayer and that intercession on my behalf is not necessarily always pleasant or the outcome that I wanted to see. That's hard to accept sometimes. So we often think that, oh, well, if He's praying and He's interceding and He's my advocate, then that means that everything I wanted to have happen is going to happen. False. So remember that. He is our advocate, but advocates advocate for truth in our lives, for things that are healthy and are going to help us in our lives. Not always what we want, because sometimes the things that we want actually make it worse. They hinder us. They hurt us in our lives. An advocate advocates for truth in our lives. He intercedes on our behalf. The fourth thing is, He's a comforter. He's an encourager. He gives us strength, and He's an advisor. He guides us in the way that we should go. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 says, "He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." I underlined part of one of those sentences. What do you think that would be? He comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can what? Be comforted? Feel good? Yes. There's going to be a trend here that you're going to start picking up on, and I want you to see that as we talk about more about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But that's one key thing. Yes, He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's advocating on our behalf. He's encouraging us. He's strengthening us. But He's doing that, what? So that we can comfort others. Not so that we can just be comforted and live a happy, nice life. So keep that in mind as we go along. John 14 and 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Number 5, He gives us power to be witnesses. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I don't know about you, but I like more power. I'm a car guy. And after I got old enough to actually buy my own car and I didn't have to drive a Chevy Lumina van, I was the coolest kid in high school, by the way. True story. It was an APV. So cool. You could drive with a sliding door open, and you could get pulled over because you're not allowed to do that, evidently. Ever since I was able to actually buy my own vehicles, I just wanted more power, you know? Will a Toyota Corolla get you where you're going? Yes. And if you drive one, I'm sorry. They're reliable cars. They're really good. But I kind of want a Ferrari, you know? Like, I want more power, you know? And I think of the Holy Spirit like that. Like, yes, can we just get along with life and just do what we do and not really seek the Holy Power's strength and the power that he brings in our lives? Yes, maybe. But I'm the type of guy that if I can get more power, I want more power. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us that power. But once again, what does he give us the power to do? That's right. He gives us the power to be a witness. So it's about others. Once again, that's that trend. Number six, he draws both the unsaved and the believers to God. That's a good sentence. He doesn't just draw believers. So once we come to know God and we invite him to be in our heart, it doesn't just mean that he only draws those that love him and have professed him and invited him into his life. We are convicted and we are drawn in and led before we ever really knew who God was. And I can attest to that because though I said a prayer when I was like 8, I think, I don't really believe that at that point in my life I even fully understood what I was saying. I was just mouthing something that they told me to do because it's in Scripture and they wanted me to be okay. And it wasn't until I got older and then I really started reading Scripture and I started seeking God, and there was always that tug and that pull. Even in the worst times of my life, I knew there was something more. I knew that it couldn't just be what it was in my life. That was the Holy Spirit. He was with me all those times. Even when I was at my worst, doing the worst things that you could imagine, the Holy Spirit was there tugging on me, trying to draw me back into him. And I can't imagine why he would want to do that, except for he knew what I didn't know. He knew what God had called me to be, and he knew that he wanted to be the one to empower me to do that. So he does it for the unbeliever and the believer alike. John 6 and 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. And that's what he did with me in my life. I shouldn't be up here with a microphone, given my past and the things that I've done. But the Holy Spirit was drawing me, even when everybody thought I was a lost cause, even when people wrote me off, stopped praying for me. Maybe like one person, my mom was still praying. But he drew me in. Number seven, he equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. Romans 8 and 26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I love that. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be explained in words. There are many times when I sit down to pray and my mind will go blank. I think that I've got a million things I want to pray for. I'm about to just light the heavens up with my prayers. And I get there and I'm like, man, I wonder if Chick-fil-A has any new food coming out next week, like macaroni and cheese, man. Are they going to put bacon on it, do you think? Because that would be really good if they put bacon on the macaroni and cheese, because it's already really good if you haven't had it. But if they put bacon on it, it would be so much better. Man, I wonder what's going on Netflix. Is there something new out? I probably shouldn't watch it because nothing good is on Netflix anymore. It's all nasty, bad stuff. But I could turn it on because I'm sitting here. I'm at my house. That's my mind. Like, my mind goes to a million different places. I got a million things I'm going to pray for. And then I sit down and it's like, nope, I got nothing really to pray for. I'm thinking about Chick-fil-A mac and cheese, Netflix, and probably a Ferrari that I won't be able to afford unless God leaves. And I'll receive it. But he equips us. He gives us strength to accomplish these things. We have so much history in the Bible of men that weren't capable under their own power to do the things that they did. I mean, we talked about Moses 2 weeks ago. He said he had a stuttering problem. I'm not convinced. I think that was just a poor excuse. But God continually equips us. He continually equips us. We think that we have inferiorities. We think that we have things inside of us that make it us void and nullifies our ability to do good things in this life and do things for God. But God says, no, I will make you strong in your weakness. I will pick up the slack. And I love that about the Holy Spirit. I love that at any given moment where I feel weak, I feel low, and I don't have the power or I'm not equipped to do the things that he's called me to do, he says, I got you. Just go. And that's all he wants. He just wants a willing heart. And he'll do the rest, I promise you. He equips us. He equips those he calls. And who is that? Every single person sitting in this room. It's not just me. He equips those that he calls. And he's called every single one of you. I promise you. Number 8, he convicts people of sin. Ooh, pre and post salvation. Oh, that sin word, we don't like it. And we don't want to be convicted, do we? I don't want somebody telling me when I'm wrong. We have what? Pride. We have pride. We don't want to be convicted. It hurts. It doesn't feel good. But we need it. We need somebody in our lives that is infallible at preaching truths to us. Because how many of you know that sometimes we can listen to the wrong voices and it can lead us down a really bad path? But the Holy Spirit, if you're constantly seeking his guidance, he's going to tell you the truth. And sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's, hey, you know what? You messed up right here. Hey, you're doing something right now in your life. You are committing a sin in your life that is going to lead you to a place that is going to be very hard to get back from. It's going to cost you more than you really want to pay. He is infallible at preaching truth to you if you seek him and ask him truthfully. But that is up to us to ask, and it's up to us to receive that, because he's going to convict you. He did it with me before I ever knew him. He did it with you before you ever knew him. And he's going to do it with you after. But we have to receive that with a welcome heart. And that's not always easy. John 16, 7 through 11 says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That sounds like a pretty ominous scripture, but it's a good thing. The absence of the law gives people an out. The absence of the Holy Spirit, the one that convicts us, kind of gives people an out. But once you highlight sin for what it is, then we have no excuse anymore. And I want that in my life because that helps me become a better person. So if I'm reading the truths of the Bible and I have to be held accountable for what I've attained in this, if I'm seeking the Holy Spirit and he's convicting me when I'm wrong, then I am then responsible for those things. And that is a healthy way to live. Number 9. Here's another word again. He gives us the power over sin and sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8 real quick, and I'm going to read just a little bit of this, and I'm going to preface it with Romans chapter 7. If you've never read Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 7, it absolutely radically changed my outlook on my problem, which was a sin problem, and we'll just flat out say it. It radically changed my outlook. I call it the do chapter. If you've never read it, you'll know. I mean, if you've read it, you'll know why I call it the do chapter. If you've never read it, go read it. It basically talks about this inner struggle between our own flesh, which is our own sinful desires and natures, that thing that wants what we want when we want it, despite what it'll do to other people, despite how it'll harm other people, despite how it'll harm ourselves. We think that we're not in a ripple effect. We think that we're a single stone that gets pitched into a pond, and the initial splash is all that happens, but that's not the truth. Romans 7 talks about us doing what we do not want to do. And it seems so simplified when you read it, but it really opens your mind. I do what I don't want to do, even though I don't want to do it. That's how I lived for so long. I would be in the midst of a lot of sin and doing things that I knew were contrary to what I was taught, contrary to what the Word said, and I didn't really want to do it. I didn't want to be involved in it, but yet I couldn't stop. Why is that? Because there's a struggle between the flesh, that sinful desire that's in me, and then the Spirit, and we're going to read about that in 8, and 8 opens that up. So 7 and on talks about that struggle that's going on. And then chapter 8 comes in and it talks about living life through the Spirit. So 8:5. For those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. It's easy. The mind of a sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives inside of you. I read all that to tell you that if you have your mindset, and that's what it is, if you have your mindset on the sinful nature, the things that you want, then that's what it's going to produce. It's going to produce sin and destruction and death, the Bible says in your life. But if you have your mindset on the things of the Spirit, then it is going to bring this dead body that has been killed and then brought back to life through the Spirit. You have the resurrection power of Christ living inside of you. If you can't get excited about that, then you don't need to be here. The resurrected, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in you daily. That's all you need. If you can't get excited about that, if you can't use that idea, which is truth, if you believe what the Scripture says, to overcome anything that you're dealing with, I don't care what it is. There's not one thing that the Holy Spirit cannot help you overcome. There's not one thing that you're going through. There's not one thing that you've done that the Holy Spirit cannot help you overcome and then help to make you stronger in your life and to do what God's called you to do because you have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. It will help you. I hate when people come to me and say, Jeremiah, I just don't know what I'm going through. Maybe not exactly, but you don't know what I've been through. And I'm here today, and I'm alive. Shouldn't be. But the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit has saved me, has brought about a power in my life, not my own, because Chapter 7 tells me what my own power gets me. It gets me death. I do what I want to do and I die. That resurrection power is inside of every one of you. Embrace it. Ask him for help. Whatever you're struggling with, if you're struggling with something, whatever sin you're going through, don't be embarrassed about it. Embrace it. That's the one thing that I had a problem with for so many years. I wanted to sweep everything under the rug. I didn't want anybody to know about the sinful past that I had and the things that I was struggling with, and it kept me sick. It wasn't until I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to me why I had such a problem with people knowing my past that I was able to be set free. The truths of the things that used to keep me bound have actually set me free more than anything in the world that I've ever tried to grab a hold of to change and become a better person. And that was because the Holy Spirit said, it doesn't matter what you did, it only matters what you do. And that's a free feeling. And I'm so thankful for that today. Last, number 10, he molds us into the image of Christ. So what is the image of Christ exactly? I mean, that's something that we talk about. Oh, you just want to be like Jesus. You want to be in the image of Christ. Like, well, okay, what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean exactly? That means two things: spirit and intellect. The image of Christ is spirit and intellect. So we've talked about spirit. We all have one. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us if you've asked him to be in your life. And intellect is an understanding and a common sense in all of your ways. It's rightfully dividing the things that you are intaking in your life. It's a wisdom that can really, in my opinion, only come through God. Because we talk about wisdom, but a lot of earthly wisdom is just book smarts or things that we've read, and we can kind of put ourselves on pedestals based on how learned we are. But this intellect that I'm talking about that comes from God, it's a type of intellect that you can take in either the truths or the falsehoods of life, and you can separate them rightly. And then you can apply the right things to your life. So it's the wisdom to apply the knowledge that you've attained from God and apply it correctly. So that's what we are. That's the image of God. It's spirit and it's intellect. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it's probably a pretty common scripture. A lot of you probably read it. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, and this last one, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Why is there no law against such things? Because that keeps you right. That is what makes you holy. That's what makes you justified. That's what makes you righteous, is participating in these fruits of the Spirit. And how do you do that? You do that through His Spirit, and through the intellect and the wisdom that God gets you or gives you. It's becoming more and more like Him. So I talked about in a couple of these, that common theme. Did y'all notice a common theme throughout all of this? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Everything that I've experienced in my life, when I initially was going through my change and when I was really seeking God and I was really asking Him to be in my life and change who I am. And I don't want to be this man anymore. I want to be something different. I want to work for you. I don't want to work for myself anymore. I want to work for you. But deep down, I really just was kind of being selfish with that because I just wanted my life to be better. I wanted the circumstances that I've created to go away, and I wanted to just live a better life, a life without troubles. And I thought that God was the pathway to do that. And in a sense, He will help us, and He will take away a lot of those self-inflicted troubles, but He doesn't remove us from trouble. But I honestly thought that becoming a Christian and getting closer to God was really a selfish act. It wasn't until I really got into Scripture and realized, and the Holy Spirit started convicting me of that attitude, that everything that we're doing, actually in turn, is really about doing something for someone else. And it goes back to that greatest commandment that God gives us. And what is that? Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But then what is it? Loving others. If you can do those two things. So it just started to make this so much easier for me in my life. I was working so hard and seeking God just to be better for myself, when in reality, it's not even about that. Getting close to the Holy Spirit, having Him rule and reign in your life, having Him give you the power that comes with having that resurrection power living inside you, is about helping other people relive and get that same thing that you've got in your life. And it's funny that as Christians, a lot of times, we don't want to do that. We're scared to tell somebody about the one thing that has radically changed us in our lives. But that is what the Holy Spirit is all about, y'all. He didn't come into your life just to make you a clean person and a good person and an upstanding citizen, one that people look at. He came into your life to give you power to then go and empower other people to perpetuate the cycle of evangelism. And that's what these classes are about. And that's why I get so excited about the Grow Tracks. Because what we're doing in this room is what Jesus set up at the onset of the church. It was the original creation of the church. It wasn't to just come and sit in a building. It was to teach and train others that have the Spirit living inside them to then go out and show other people that there's a better way, that there's more power that they can hold. That's what this is about. And that's why I get so excited about this, because I know what he did in my life and what he can do in your life. With that, I thank you for letting me talk, and I'm going to turn it over to Taylor. She's going to finish it out.
Sore legs, I'm coming. I'll make it up. Thank you, Jeremiah. Love that. This is one of my favorite weeks as week four, just because we learn about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just like Jeremiah said, he's here to empower us. He's here to empower us with the boldness, with the courage to do what God has called each and every one of us to do. This week, we've had reflection questions. We've had some group work at the end of each class and things like that. And this week, I think it's in your manuals, we wanted to give you guys something to work on in your time with God this week, and it's this week's challenge. This week's challenge. And the first thing we're asking you guys to do is to invite. Invite the Holy Spirit to work in and through your lives this week. What does that look like? Well, it looks like, Holy Spirit, I invite you. I invite you to do what you want to do in me, to do what you want to do in my life this week. Holy Spirit, show me. I invite you in, show me. And I promise you guys, when you say that prayer, and we say it with a heart that's open, he's going to show you some things. He might show you that you need to go forgive somebody. He might show you that you maybe need to change your tone of voice when you're speaking to your spouse or your kids. He might show you a need that somebody else has that you can fill. He's going to start showing you these things as you ask and you have an open heart, because he has empowered you to do these things. And number two, so we want to invite him in. And number two, we want to allow him, allow him to do what he wants and needs to do, because we can invite him and still not allow him. We can say, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, Jesus, please. Show me, reveal yourself to me. What do you want me to do, God? What's a next step for me this week? I want you to go forgive this person. Well, no, surely that's not God. No, I can't. Lord, they did this. They said this. You don't understand. I just don't. Maybe next week. You got to allow him. Or maybe, God, Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, show me what you want to do this week. Show me what I can do, Jesus. And he says, he puts it on your heart to go witness to somebody at your workplace. Go share what God's been doing in your life with them. And you're intimidated. You say, I can't do that. I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say? I don't want to share too much of what I've been through. Allow him. Allow him. And the third thing is, cooperate with him and obey him as he leads you to follow him. Cooperate with him and obey him. Has it been good tonight? Yes, amen. Pastor Stephen and Jeremiah did a wonderful job. Invite him, allow him, and obey him this week as he's molding you. Number 10, just like Jeremiah said, he's molding us into the image of Christ. He's molding you right now. Where you're at, whatever situation, circumstance, whatever, he is molding you this week. Can we pray about that? Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone in this room. God, I thank you for such a hungry class. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. He's our encourager. He's our strength. He's our comforter. He empowers us to do what you've called us to do. And not only that, he equips us as we go. God, I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who he's personal. He has emotions. He understands. We can call on him immediately. He lives inside of us. That resurrection power of Christ lives in each and every one of us. Thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray as every person leaves here tonight, Jesus, God, I pray that you would quicken them. You would give them that hunger and that urge to do this week's challenge, to do this week's next step, to invite you. Lord, that they would have a moment, Father, even tonight, of just inviting you to do what you want to do in them this week. And God, that they would allow you and they would obey your voice when you speak to them, because I know that you will. God, continue to mold this class and every person in here at the sound of my voice, just like that scripture we said from Philippians at the beginning of class, that you complete the good work you're doing in us, God, and you are doing a good work in every single person in this room. May you do it unto completion, and may we have hearts that are submissive and obey and allow you to do the good work you're doing in each and every one of us. We thank you for it, God. I speak blessings over them, protection as they drive home, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, we want to get you out a little bit early because I know the rain's coming. You've got kids to pick up. We love you. If you guys have any questions or you want someone to talk with or pray with you, you can talk to your table host or come see me. If not, drive safe, and we'll see you next time.